Why don't we take a moment and greet the others that are here? Take a moment, say hi to somebody. I thank God for the worship team. Every time they draw us right into God's kingdom, into his throne room, so we can really hear. And it's amazing to see that, to see that God moves in such a great way. All we need to do is call out to him. And as they sang, we want more, you know. I don't know about you guys, but when I see a cake that I like, I want more. I know I'm only supposed to have that little bit, but when you enjoy something, you can't help but want a little bit more. And it's the same way with God, understanding that he's such a good, good father. And it was amazing to me, again, the way the worship just flowed, and even with the announcements. God knows exactly what's going on in this church and what's happening. And he's got a great plan for you guys. He will guide you and direct you in a way that you don't even understand. And you don't have to understand it, just knowing that the Father has a plan. You know, part of the song from Good Good Father talked about calling us deeper. And that's the thing that we need to do, because it's very easy, again, to stay where we're at. You know, to be, you know, okay, well, I'm here. You know, I made it to church. But what happens tomorrow? And Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and a Saturday. Are we looking forward to the things of God? Are we calling, letting that call that is reaching out to us to draw us closer, to draw us closer to God and to something deeper? That's where our hearts need to be pliable and be able to be molded. And that's what the message is about today, which is amazing. A little weird if you look at it. Is it time for an upgrade? You know, a lot of the idea of this is that there's outdated stuff. You know, if you look at that, that's an old computer. That's a very old typewriter. And that phone, if some of you remember, it was a big deal at the time. It was high-tech technology. Nowadays, it's just funny to look at and kind of laugh at. But that's what happens, is in this life we have upgrades. You know, nowadays with the computers and the way things work, they have to have a lot more RAM and a lot more memory so that they can just run the processors, you know, and the programs, you know, and it's constantly is having to be upgraded, you know, and that's what we need in our lives, to never let that go and to realize that we need an upgrade. I know I do in my life. Colossians 4, 5, and 6. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, non-believers, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. And then the message says it a little bit different. Use your heads as you live and work among outsiders. Don't miss a trick, being aware. Don't miss a trick. Make the most of every opportunity. Be gracious in your speech. The goal is to bring out the best in others in a conversation. Not put them down, not cut them out. Father God, help this word to help us to draw closer to you today, Father God. We want your will. We want your guidance. We want your direction, Father God. Sometimes we get off the path here and there, and sometimes that's what this is about, is trying to bring us back and help us to draw closer to you, Lord, to those deeper things. Bless the word today in Jesus' name. Amen. As though seasoned with salt. I love that, because I don't know about you guys, sometimes you go to eat something and it's what they call bland. You know, it's just not good. It's kind of okay, but sometimes you need a little salt on there. And that's what we are. We're the salt of this world. We're the ones who not only bring flavor, but salt also is a preservative. And actually, it helps you too in ways when you're, I know in high school football, we would always take salt pills because it would help you not to sweat all your moisture out. It help you to retain that water so that you could keep on going and not have to just, you know, get worn out. But the idea of salt in this world is that there's so much we can do. Sometimes we don't understand that, you know. And the reason we need that upgrade is because we need to constantly be checking our hearts, constantly asking God, what do you want from me? You know, what do you have for today? What do you need? How can I say something nice to somebody? You know, something I felt, we went out to lunch yesterday, and as soon as we were done, I just felt like very strongly, I said, hey guys, thank you so much for your help. I just kind of yelled it out, and they were both, well, thanks, you know, because it's so easy not to do that. You know, and to walk by, well, we paid for the food, you know. No, these are people. They were young people. They should know that we care for them. And it was something that probably I wouldn't do on my own, but I just felt in my heart God was saying, say something to them. Don't leave without letting them know that you cared about their service and what they did. Now, it's just eating food. It doesn't seem like a big deal, but it is. Everybody we come in contact, we should be that salt that seasons and that brings flavor and preserves, because that's our job. As Christians, we want to be able to be used of God in such a great way that we can just really shine His light. We're the reflection of that light. We're like the moon. We're not the light, but we reflect that light of Jesus when we come closer to Him, when He calls us deeper. And that's why I love that song, because that's what it should be. It should be a deeper call. We should put our all into these things. I went to a meeting Friday, and it was very intimidating. It was a brand new client, and it was only a couple of us, and there was a ton of Honda people there. And it's very easy, like, whoa. But all I did was think, you know, what's my job in this? My job is to serve them, not just as an employee, but really, especially as a Christian, too. Now, I didn't preach the word to them or anything, but I was able to talk to them and let them know, I'm here for you. You know, when you need help, here's my card. Call me. You know, if I can help you, I will do that. And I think sometimes we forget. It's very easy. It would be very easy to go through that meeting. I noticed at one point, no one from our team, not many were talking. We had a break. First thing I did, and I just made sure, I need to meet these guys. I need to let them know I care. I need to let them know that I'm there for them. Well, it's the same way in the kingdom of God. Sometimes we forget that. We are the salt, sometimes at Walmart. You know, as I say, when those checkout people, sometimes my wife and I have seen it, people just totally rude to some of those people, and they could be your daughters and sons, you know. And usually what we try to do is afterwards, hey, we're sorry you had to hear that, you know. There's no reason for you to go through that. And they're amazed that people are actually listening. And that's why, again, we need to be that salt, that preservative that brings God's light forward. Sometimes we don't realize the little things that we do that really, really matter. And one way we have to check that is, how is our connection with God? That's a router. That's an old router. But what it does is basically lets you get a signal so that you can connect with the Wi-Fi and be able to get online. Well, it's the same way with God. We have to have that. We have to have that connection with God. And the way it happens is knowing His Word and understanding what He has to say to us. 1 Timothy 4:1-2. The Spirit makes it clear that as time goes on, some are going to give up on the faith and chase after demonic illusions put forth by professional liars. I kind of like that. It really puts it out there. These liars have lied so well and for so long that they've lost their capacity for truth. In other words, the lies become truth because we're listening, or someone is listening to something that's wrong. That's why you need to know the Word, to be able to say, hey, what Pastor Roger said was wrong. He had the verse wrong. You know what? It's okay. And you should check that. I've been to, one thing I was taught is always have your Bible with you. And always check, because we need to know. You know, I've told you sometimes I like to study like doctrine and theology, and I didn't realize what an impact it made until I heard some people on the television speaking some stuff that was really off. And all I could say is, man, that's wrong. I mean, it was really a lie. And I'm not going to tell you who it was, it's not about accusing, but we need to know the truth. We need to know that truth. We need to understand that there's a basis for what we believe. We believe in God's Word, and it matters what we believe. And the only way we could do that is to know God's Word. But it's very easy to get off and to suddenly, you know, think on our own. What are our thoughts? Well, I don't want my thoughts. I don't want my ways in my life. I want God's ways. I want Him to be the king in my life. I want Him to be the king over all of us so that we can do the things that are right, not just what we feel like we want to do. It's very easy to be like that. It's very easy to be self-centered. It is so easy. And sometimes we forget. The Spirit makes it clear that as time goes on, some are going to give up on the faith and chase after stuff. You know, some of those things that people are speaking sound great. You know, if you only send your $111 for the next 3 months, God will give you favor. So God doesn't favor us now? That's what comes in my mind. You know, and then someone else didn't mean it, but they, friend of mine, you know, well, you're either under the blessing or under the curse. Well, where do you draw the line? Oh, I stepped out. I'm in the curse now. But let me give a little money. Oh, now I'm on the blessing side. That's not how God is. He loves us. He loves us so much, as we talked about last week, the idea that He's a good Father who cares for His children, goes out of His way to rush to His Son, the one who's been away for so long, and to embrace Him, dirty and filthy, as the prodigal son was, and to put a robe around Him, put a ring on His finger, and say, "My Son has come home." That's the goodness of God. And it's very easy to forget that. We don't have to force God's hand because He already loves us. That's the great, the good news of the gospel, is God's love for us is so good and so understanding. Another component about upgrade, are we running at full capacity? You know, sometimes it's the idea that, I don't know about you, but you have to, at one point in your computer, you might have to start getting rid of stuff. It's very easy because I'm in a hurry and I'm doing so many things. I'll save something, so I'll save it to my desktop so that I can grab it real quick. Well, what happens after a while, that really drags your computer down. And then there's also the downloads where it automatically downloads stuff for your computer. You got to get rid of it. Well, that's the same with us. John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much abundant fruit. However, apart from me, cut off from vital union with me, you could do nothing. And that's the key. We can't do it on our own. We think we can. Something I heard, it was a really good idea and thought at our men's breakfast yesterday, is the idea that we're praying about something. God, bring me through it. And then you get through it and everybody says, man, God really blessed. Well, you know, I did a lot of it too. No, you didn't do any of it. When we understand God and His greatness, it's really all about Him. Abiding in Him. Abiding, living. Making Him your life. Not that you're going to be perfect. Because that's a lie too. But the idea is, you're always able to walk into God's throne room anytime, whether you're in your car, at work, wherever it might be, driving, taking the time to say, God, you are the one I look to. Because it's very easy to think we're doing these things on our own, that we have the energy and strength that make it happen. Oh, if I didn't do this every week, well, that's great. You know, that you did a great thing. But always giving God the glory. See, that's the key, is taking it back, abiding in the vine to say, God, you're good. You did this because I gave it to you, so I give you praise and honor. I give you all glory, Lord God. It's all because of you. And that's hard to do sometimes. Amen? It's hard because we forget. Oh, I did a great thing. Man, you should see this. Oh, look at this spreadsheet. Man, it's fantastic. And I did a VLOOKUP, and now I got all this. Well, if you didn't turn to God and he didn't give you that wisdom, you couldn't do it if you tried. You know? And that's the hard thing in our lives. It's so, so easy. So, so easy to be like that sick computer up there and not being able to abide in Christ. What does it mean to abide in Christ? To live in him. To walk with him. To understand that he's the only way, the only truth, the only life. You could be right and know it's right and treat someone wrong. And your right becomes a wrong. It's very easy to do that. I know in my own life I'm learning that, and I have for the last 5 years, where if somebody comes up and said, this is what it means, and I can say without destroying their life, okay, sounds good. Hey, thanks. Thank you so much. Now, I know what they're saying isn't right, and maybe they don't even know what's right, but does it help to destroy them? You know what I mean? To show them? Absolutely not. That's not our job. We're not fruit testers to come and see, you know, well, if you were really living in the Spirit, brother or sister, you would do this. Well, is it your job to do that? Now, sometimes it might be. If God speaks to your heart, God might tell you to do something specifically. And he knows exactly what's going on. The hard thing is we start to think, well, let me do this. Let me tell my brother what's wrong in his life. And it's kind of the thing we spoke about a few weeks back, about having that log in our own eye. We can't even see past because we've got this big log and our vision is blurred. So we have to remember, we have to abide in Christ. And can we bear fruit apart from Christ? Oh, absolutely not. It's so easy to think again what we do. Oh, I'm great at this, I'm great at that. You know what? That means nothing in the kingdom of God. That's what the disciples were fighting over. Who's the greatest in the kingdom? You know? And it had nothing to do with sitting on the right or the left of Jesus. It was the idea of serving. That's why Jesus had to show them. You know, he wanted to wash Peter's feet. No, Lord. Peter, I have to do this. You know, if I don't do this, I don't, you know, you don't understand what's going to happen in the future. You're going to learn from this. And that's sometimes what we think we need to do. We think we need to help God. Well, I know God's got this, but, you know, I'm going to do my thing too. Now, that's nothing wrong with that. But again, seeking God, abiding in Christ, where you're doing it to the point of, God, I want your will in this. I don't want my will to be done in this situation. I don't want to glory in myself. That's the key in this life as a Christian, is to bring glory to God. It's not to bring glory to ourselves. And that's what happens. We all need an upgrade all the time. You know, seriously, with computers and the way things are, constantly I'm getting something. This needs to be upgraded. I have to get IT on there, and then suddenly they have to go through it as an admin because I can't even do it on my work computer. I'm not allowed. So I have to go through the procedures. It's very easy. Well, I'm not going through that. If you want to work and not have them let you go, you will do what they say. You know, but it's the idea in Christ, sometimes we forget we have to go through certain ways. We have to pray about it. You know, it's too easy to say, I've got this. And that's the thing I remember as a youth pastor. You know, very young and very strong and can do things on your own. Sometimes I say, I got this. What I was saying, really, and I look back, was, I'm going to do this on my own. I'm going to do those things that I can do, and I know I can do it. The problem was I was leaving God out of the equation. And that doesn't work all the time. Because when you have a lot of energy and strength and you have skills, it's very easy to put them above God. Even though we're trying to do what's right. But that's why you have to know. Johnny and I were talking a few weeks ago about his schedule and how hard it is. And even trying to keep up with God. And all of us are dealing with that in different ways. But at one point, you have to make a stand and say, this is what I do. I have devotionals delivered to me every day besides a men's thing that's sent to me. And then I have brothers sending me stuff. You know, every Monday, Brother Eric Mayo, he sends something out as a devotional. You know, those things are put in place so that we can turn back to God and remember that it's not all about us, because it's very easy. I know if it's like that for my life sometimes, I think for your life it can be too. And the key is to know that you can't do it on your own. You know, if I felt like I could do this on my own, it would be a waste of my time and a waste of your time. And we would not be hearing from God. That's what we want. We want to hear from God this morning. Not what I have to say. I want to hear from God. I get convicted when I hear this stuff. You know, it's not just for you, like rattling stuff off. I sit there and say, I need an upgrade. I do. Constantly. I need that so bad. And it's very easy to have that attitude. But the key is we could tap into a greater source than you can imagine. Zechariah 4:6. So he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. But by my spirit. That's the key. It's so easy. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. That's what we want. We want God's spirit to be involved in our life. We want his direction. We want his wisdom. Hebrews 4:12. For the word that God speaks is alive. I'll get back to that. It's living and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, our soul, and our spirit, the immortal part of us, and of joints and marrow, of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing, sifting, analyzing, and judging the very thoughts and purposes of our heart. That happens because God loves us so much. It's not because he's trying to show us we're wrong, but it's the idea that we need to be changed. We have to have a heart that's open to hear from God. You won't go any farther till you start at the beginning and do something. A friend of mine runs marathons. Now, I was very impressed. I said, well, how did you start? He said, well, I started with 5 miles, which I couldn't hardly do. He said, I went 5 miles and I was dead. Eventually went 7 miles, then 10 miles. Little by little, he built up his strength again. He found that he couldn't just jump right into it and do a full marathon. Well, see, that's the same way with us as Christians. We can't run those marathons. Actually, our life is not a sprint. It is more of a slow-paced marathon where we want to be able to hear from God constantly, to be changed. That's just the way it happens. That's the way it works in God's kingdom. You know, it's the little things where God is starting to move and to speak to our lives. We need that so bad in our lives. Why is God's word important to us? because we need his guidance. It's very easy to, again, think that we've got this. I've got this. Maybe God has a better way. Probably he does. I'm just being nice, but I know God knows more than me. He has a better understanding of what this life is about and what's going on. He knows exactly what we need and what we can do. And to be honest, we need that. Why do we set forth in our lives to make God's word a priority? Or what do we do? Again, it's those little things. Reading his word, praying, talking, having relationships with other brothers and sisters. You know, it's okay to, you know, have a good relationship. Bad company corrupts good morals. So it's very easy. Sometimes you need to be around the brothers and sisters because they will show you when you're wrong in a good way. And we need that. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is working and we don't even know it. We don't see what's really happening in our lives. It's very easy to get just, you know, off track because you're more interested in the things around you. And the thing is we can't do that. It's very, very easy to get off our path. And we need that so bad. We need that upgrade in our lives. We really do. Because again, he's calling us deeper, as the song said. He's not calling us to be mediocre. God is calling us to be a holy nation, a people who walk and stand for the things of God. And again, that salt and light, it comes from knowing Christ. People will even tell you, man, there's something different about you. I don't know. You know? And it's not because you're, you know, just because you're good looking, you might be. But the thing is, it's more about your spirit. That's what's going to make the difference. That's what's going to make the difference in our lives. I know my wife and I, when we first started dating, I believe my wife was beautiful, and that's actually what attracted me to her at first. But beyond that was the idea that I could talk to her. She was my best friend. There was nothing I couldn't say to her. And she'd tell me, this is what God says. She'd encourage me. See, that's what we need in our lives. You know, it'd be very easy to go after something else. And God spoke to her heart about me. I needed to know that when she told me, you know, because that's what you want. You just don't want to make your own decisions, you know, and marry someone because they're good looking. You know, they might be good looking and they might be the right one, and that's fine too. But there's a place where you have to judge things and you have to know, I want God's spirit to move. I want God to be in my life. I want to go deeper, as the song says. I really do. Are we settling for spiritual mediocrity? I don't know if any of you remember that old Nintendo system. And then, of course, the Wii on the right. Totally different. Totally different. You know, it was a lot of fun playing that old system. I think I still have one somewhere. I just don't know. And it was a lot of fun because you'd memorize all the little moves and the jumps and what you needed to do to get the mushrooms and stuff. But it's very easy in this life to stay the same. You upgrade because things are better. I know my daughter and I, little by little, we had PlayStation, I mean the first one, and then we went on. We didn't get much into that after that. It was more Nintendo, but they, you know, we would go up to the next one and the next one because the games were cooler and things moved faster and there was more to it. Well, that's in our Christian life. It's the same way. We have to have an upgrade so that we do not do the things that we want to do. And this is the key to it. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. See, success really comes from God. Now, there could be people who are successful and Maybe they don't turn to God. That's a different success. I'm talking about a success of having peace and understanding and loving people. See, that's real success. Real success is understanding that it's not, again, about what we see or what we do, because that's very easy to do. When you're not upgrading in your life, in your spiritual life, when God is calling you to a deeper walk and you're not listening, it affects us. It really does. Are we settling for less than God's best? Do we meditate on God's word? I really believe just this morning, everything we heard, you know, through the worship and even through Dewey with the announcements, it was the idea that God's spirit is moving. You know, I'm amazed. I bragged on the worship team here to some friends of mine at Calvary, and I said, you wouldn't believe this small band of musicians just always totally bring us into God's presence. You know, it just amazes me that the Spirit of God just moves in such a great way. And that's a testimony to them seeking God and to them wanting God's best. I hear it when I hear them pray and talking. It's not about, let me show you this. Wow, isn't that really cool? It has nothing to do with it. They're trying to lead us into God's presence. That's what it's about. And it's very easy to look past that. You know, to not understand. Do we meditate on His Word? That's what we need to ask ourselves. Are we seeking for our own greatness or God's glory? That's the key in this life. Do we bring God's glory to it? Do we give God the glory for everything we do? We should be. Each and every day, we need to know that everything we do needs to be to God's glory. You have a car, it's God's glory that you have that car. You have a guitar, thank God that you have it. You have children, family, thank God for those things. See, the enemy would try to come to you and say, you don't have anything because your car is old or your home needs work or whatever it might be. Your health might not be the best. That doesn't matter in God's kingdom because it's a spiritual thing in our lives. The spiritual things that draw us closer to God are the things that give us peace when everyone else around us is running frantically. They don't see the future. We know who holds the future. It's God. And we want to really look to Him, and the only way is to meditate on His Word day and night, to understand that He is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And let's agree to upgrade. That's what we need to do. We need to constantly, constantly upgrade. Jeremiah 17:9-10. The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. Left to our own desires, we'll do the wrong thing. Left to our own desires, we will do the wrong thing. We will do the selfish thing. We will do the thing that brings us glory. But the thing is when we do those things that give glory to God, when our lives shine so that we can say, and somebody asks, what is your success? You've done well. You know what? I thank God for that success, and it all comes from Him. I give God the glory. All the skills I have, everything that I own is because of God and because of His greatness. That's where the enemy comes in again and tries to say, well, your car is kind of old, you know, or you're kind of old. I know he says that to me. You know, what are you doing? Hey, I give God glory wherever I'm at. It's very easy when you get into that. See, we're not in competition. We are not in competition. And I've dealt with brothers who are constantly in that competition. That's not what we're in. You know, man, I prayed this morning for 15 minutes, and I prayed for 30, brother. Well, I wasn't talking about a timeline. I was just saying, I'm seeking God. And it's not a competition. It's so easy to get into those things that are wrong. And a lot of it is because we just don't understand. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. We want what God wants. We want what God wants. That's what really we need, you know. One of the things about computers and things that you upgrade, you have to have the right software. And I know at times we were going through this for a couple computers. One of them was about in the middle of the two computers of the years, and it was hard to get them to load either one. Because they're, you know, a lot of times they change it constantly. We'll see in our lives with God, God doesn't change, but he changes us. And sometimes it's not always easy. We have to struggle through it sometimes to learn more about Christ. You know, man, this is really tough. Well, it's for a reason. You know, if you have kids or even, you know, nephews and nieces, you don't want them to get everything they want. Sometimes it's good to have to work for something. I know for myself growing up, we didn't have a lot. So what did I do? Papers. Roll up the papers and go to the, you know, deliver them. I remember the first time I took some time to do that, and I didn't realize that right next door was a bike shop. And one of the guys said, hey, you know what? If you put money down, they'll actually hold a bike for you. And if you get it within 6 months, I did that, and it was a cool Schwinn 10-speed. It was blue, and I liked it a lot. And every week I'd go in, here's $10 or $5, whatever it was. And I remember that last day when I could say, here, I'm done. It wasn't easy. You know, I had to work for it. My mom didn't just say, here's the money, go buy the bike, don't worry about it. We didn't have the money. There were other bills. But because it took effort, it was worth more, if you know what I mean. Sometimes those struggles and things, we think, wow, I must not be living for God because I'm struggling. It might be because sometimes we're just being tested. Sometimes God needs to bring you through those struggles so that you could turn to Him and let go of yourself. It's very easy again. It's so easy. And that's why we need that upgrade in our lives. It's very easy to do things on our own. But when you go through those struggles that help you to understand that it takes effort, that it's worth the effort, then suddenly you see, oh, in your life, that's why God's doing it. If you ever notice, usually it's hindsight where you see, oh, God was in that. The whole time I thought he was forsaking me. But what does his word say? I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's not God's job to turn away from you or to me. He wants us to be the best Christian we could be, but he might have to upgrade us at times. And it's so easy because our capacity, we think our capacity is here, and God says, let's go here. And you're like, whoa, that's tough. Well, the thing is, God will be in there with you. It's not like he leaves you and just throws you out. He doesn't, you know, he's a good father, as we sang about this morning. He really is a good father. He calls us deeper because he wants more from us, but he also wants more for us. Because, to be honest, monetary things will not last, but the things of the Spirit do. The impressions you give to someone in your life as a Christian will be what is the basis of who you are. Not because of money, not because of your car or these other things. It's the things of the Spirit, what God is working in your life. That upgrade is there because God is working. And that's what you do with your kids. I'm sure if your kid is 4 years old and he's not speaking yet, I would hope that at 2 years old or less than that, you would take some actions, what you need to do. You know, there's... It would be a bad mother or a bad father to say, oh, that's okay, he's shy. Find out why. Because you love them. Because you care for them. That's what God does in our lives. Sometimes God throws us out there and we think, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? And God is saying, that's exactly where I want you. Now I can move in your life. Because when you can do it on your own, there's no challenge. And God wants to challenge us. He wants to bring us to a different place. And we should want to be in a different place. We should want to do things differently. We should want to understand the things of the Spirit. And this is very familiar. And Dewey spoke about it last week. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. The key to it is do not lean on your own understanding. That's the problem in this life. When we think we could do it on our own, we leave God out of the equation. And God is the factor that makes everything work. If you could put it in a problem and somebody could say, well, that doesn't add up in your life. You know, you're putting your circumstances, and suddenly God gets thrown in there. Oh, that shouldn't work, but it does. That's what God does in our life. He wants to upgrade us so that those things that we think we can't do, we can. But if you think you're at a place where you've got it all down, it's very tough. You're going uphill with rocks coming at you and rain and a mudslide. And it's not because God is bad. It's just that when we do those things on our own, sometimes He has to say, well, see what you can do on your own. When you're ready, I'm right here. I am the good Father, as Jesus would say to us. He's a good Father, and He is calling us deeper. That was, to me, really stuck out to me this morning. You know, calling us deeper. The idea that that's exactly what God is doing. Johnny, can you come up and play a little bit as we're getting ready to close here? I don't know about you and your life, but for me, God has to sometimes, you know, hey, what are you doing? You know, what's going on? Why haven't I heard from you today? What are you thinking of? I let that brother go by you so you could encourage him. What are you doing? It's very easy to get our eyes off of that. I know at the men's thing yesterday that we had our men's breakfast, I was so encouraged to talk to some people who really, they didn't need a sermon. They just need someone, hey man, good to see you, and big old hug. I mean, a hug like you'd think we'd known each other all our lives. Someone I've only known for a few weeks. Because they need that. We forget about that. We think, oh, someone else will do that. That's someone else's job. No, it's our job. As Christians, we are the salt. We bring flavor to this life. We preserve what God has called out in this life, in the Spirit. And without that preservative in this life, all hell breaks loose, literally. Think about it and you watch the news, we should just be destroyed at times, you know, with all the decisions and thoughts and the way the world goes. It seems like it should be World War III, but only by God's Spirit, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. That's the key to it. We have to have a hunger for God. Matthew 5:6, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness are blessed, for they will be filled. Such a simple verse, but speaks volumes. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness are blessed, for they will be filled. It's so easy to think, again, we do it on our own, or how, you know, of our own strength. We can't do it that way. We have to have that upgrade. And the reason you upgrade is so that you're compatible. What happens is, as I talked about, you know, when my wife and I were putting a program on. On one computer, it says it won't work. Your computer's too old, and it's not going to work. Well, then the other one is almost like it's too new, and we're having a hard time. So I finally had to kind of trick it and learn stuff, and I got it to load. But we shouldn't have to trick things and to make things happen. We should turn to God. And God comes in that equation where, again, it doesn't make sense. 3 + 4 = 6. Well, that doesn't make sense. Well, we put the equation in. Well, God is the extra one. Oh, then it is 7. Now, I'm not saying to do math like that, but it's the idea that we understand that God has a plan that sometimes doesn't look right. It doesn't look like the thing we should be doing. You know, I talked before about this when this guy Moses, someone I didn't know, kind of rough looking guy, I'll be honest, you know, from my old church. And he was. And I went up to him at one point and said, Moses, I just want to tell you. First of all, I let him know, Moses, I'm not sure, but this is what I feel God is saying. Instead of going up and lowering it over, you're going to listen to me, Moses. No. Moses, I'm not sure, but I feel this is what God is saying. Not intimidating him. I feel like God is saying that he has a plan for you. And he knows exactly where you're at, and he'll help you in this. 2 weeks later, I asked him, I said, have you ever heard from God? He said, yeah, 2 weeks ago, when you came up to me. And I was asking God, I need direction. Show me, tell me what to do. And I just about cried because I was like, wow, I didn't know what I was doing. But see, that's the thing when we hear from God. It was hard for me to go up to him. I didn't know this guy. He was someone I didn't know. He was a friend's son who had come for the first time in a while. I guess he'd come to church before. But see, that's the things of the Spirit that sometimes we need to listen to. And we do need to upgrade. We really do. It's very easy to stay the same. 3 points to take home. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders. It matters how we act towards people. It matters. It really does. If you give an offense to someone, ask forgiveness. It won't hurt you. I've asked forgiveness for people, and they'll say, you didn't do anything. I said, well, I don't care. I'm sorry if I did offend you. And they're surprised that, well, why would you say that? Because you know why? Because they're used to being talked to in a wrong way. But that's not our ways. Second point, apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. That's the key. When you cut off that branch of the vine and it throws it to the side, it's going to die. It is now not a part of that vine. It will not get the nutrients. It will not get the water to sustain it. And the next day you'll go out, you'll see it's withering. It's already dead. Really, it was dead as soon as it was cut off. So apart from Jesus, we can't do nothing. And the last point, we must trust and acknowledge God. Trust him because we know we can't do these things on our own. We cannot make these things happen. We can only do it through Christ. And I just want to say today that I truly believe God has his hand upon this church. I see it through the worship, through the people here. I believe God has a plan for you and that you will prosper because you look to God. I truly believe that. I believe this is a place where God has a plan. And when your new pastor comes, he will give him such direction. You guys will be amazed. You guys will be amazed, not because of he's a great man, but because God is great. And he sees your heart. And I want to end it a little bit different today than I usually would. Instead of asking you to come up for prayer, I want to pray for this church. And Mike and Dewey, would you come up with me? We want God's blessings. I truly believe God will bless you, but we want to acknowledge that. We want to acknowledge God gets the glory for this. Not what has happened, not what the board has done, not what anything that people have put forward, but it's for the glory of God. Chris, come on. Come on up, Chris. pray. We want to give glory to God. Give glory to where it's due, to the one who made it all possible. I think this is a phenomenal church that God is going to grow into, a great church of outreach, of blessing. And he's going to bless your families because of what you've tried to do. So let's pray. Father God, we trust you. We look to you. Lord, we ask that you would bless this church as they step out into faith into a new realm that they've never been in before. Lord, this is a brand new day, a brand new month, a brand new year, Father God. I ask for your wisdom, Father God, for the board members, for the members of the church, for everyone involved, especially for Pastor Denny as he comes, Lord. We want your direction, your guidance, and your will to be done in this, Father God. We know that this is something that can't be done unless we abide in you, Father God. So, Lord, I do ask for blessings upon this church, Lord God. Bless them, give them wisdom and guidance, Lord God. Watch over them and protect them from what the enemy will try to do. Help them to see that, Lord God, not to react, but to look to you, to pray about each and everything, not to look to themselves, Father God, but to look to you. Give such wisdom. Bless this church. Bless all the members, Father God, and their new pastor, Denny. Lord, bless them. Watch over them. I ask, Father God, that you would just multiply this congregation, Father God. Help them to reach out to those who don't know you, Father God. Help them understand, Lord God, the plan that you have right in front of them. That it might be hard, and it probably will be hard, but Father God, you're a greater God than that. You call us deeper. You call us deeper than what we can do, and that's when we see you, Father God. We are called to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation, Father God. We're not called to be mediocre, Father God. That is not our calling. Father, bless this church. Watch over them. Help them. Bless the band to become even better, Father God, than they've ever been, Lord God. To be, have more musicians, Father God. People that can come in so they can have enough musicians they can switch off and have days off, Father God. Bless them. Protect them. Guide them. Direct them in everything, Father God. And we ask this, Father God, we trust you. We trust in you, Father God. And we don't lean on our own understanding. Bless them. Protect them, guide them. In Jesus' mighty name, we trust you, Father God. Amen, amen, amen. All right, God bless you guys.